Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Blessings to all. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Dr. Louis LeGrand, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's new with you today?
Well, I was driving around today, and I was thinking of that TV show that we started watching, Resurrection. I don't know if any of our listeners have watched it. And I know Fran and I don't get to watch a lot of TV, but certainly any show that has anything to do with afterlife themes goes on our radar and into our DVR and start checking out. So we started watching this show, and Resurrection, it starts out, with a young boy that suddenly wakes up in this cornfield, and as it turns out, as the story unfolds, he died 20 years...
30 years before.
And he gets reunited with his parents. The mother is absolutely convinced that it's, her child. The father has some misgivings about it. So it's not a case of reincarnation where you're coming back in somebody else's body.
It's not what we know of reincarnation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a case of coming back in the body that you had before.
Right, and just to deviate from that just a bit, I believe it was at the gathering where we were discussing reincarnation at one point, and the concept that somebody has to die and wait to be reborn as a different person may be exactly the same thing that's going on during a near-death experience, except that the person has died and come back as the same person.
Yeah, I mean, in that sense, you could say somebody that's had an NDE is reincarnated.
This is a 30-year NDE.
So, I mean, and I don't know where the show's going to go. I mean, it may turn into be one of these silly, zombie kind of things. But as it turns out, there are more people as the show evolves that come back. But what's interesting is that I guess the writers are starting to lay the themes. Are they coming back for a purpose? So you have this young boy. You have the second one that came back was a father who came back, and once he came back, went back to his criminal ways and actually committed a murder. And then you start...
And a bank robbery.
Bank robbery, and you start, and he says something cryptic, like somebody questions him, like, you had a second chance to come back into the physical, and why...
This is what you do with your life.
This is what you do with your life, and he said something like, well, you don't understand, you don't understand where I've been or the bigger picture. So that leads me to believe that maybe since he had a criminal background before when he died, he went to, realm of self-judgment, which some would equate with a hellish type of existence. So if he comes back and incarnates, he figures, hey, what's the difference? I'm going to wind up there anyway, so I might as well just, continue in my ways. I mean, No.
The whole concept, from what we understand, and we could be wrong, is that when you do cross over, there is no hell, there's no purgatory. Everybody goes to the same place, just at different enlightenment intensities, depending on how developed a soul they are. And from what the way we attribute it from our physical world perspective is that the more good we did while we were here raises our enlightenment. If we were able to take a troubled world and turn it around, it raises our enlightenment, and it brings us closer and closer to this ultimate.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that so he, because of the self-judgment, you know, is in this dense realm when he's in this afterlife existence, and he doesn't see any light, and he doesn't know, or he hasn't reached that point yet, where there's where he recognizes that there is room for progression and advancement and moving so-called closer
well,
to the light.
Well, again, you know,
if he came back too soon.
It depends how educated the writers are in spirituality and how we understand that it works, if they're going to incorporate that into that, or they want to just get, you know, hang on to the viewer audience, keep them in limbo forever, and start making it into a horror show, which yep. then will sell more sponsors and they'll make more money, and isn't that what TV is all about?
Yeah.
You know, we've seen so many promising shows that were going to do good by the work that we all participate in, going back to 2003, I believe it was, with the show Medium, which promised to be this wonderful show based on the science and the laboratory, and all, and then it just kind of broke apart into this crazy kind of thing where Patricia Arquette was this medium, but she seemed to dream everything. She would dream it, and then
right.
it would happen.
Right.
So, you know,
it's not
that's
the way it works.
Not the way it works. So they take something that's great, they suck the viewers in, and then they totally destroy it. And that's exactly what I expect to happen with this show, too.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised.
I hope
they added another twist in this last episode with one woman comes back, and she goes to the she's taken to a physician who tells her that she's pregnant, which means that she got pregnant before she died, although she didn't know it, and then she comes back in exactly the same body.
That's where you left off.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that seems to be the theme, is that you come back, you pick up where you left off. Doesn't matter how many years passed in between or what happened in between.
Right.
It's odd, but
there's another show that we haven't seen yet that I've been DVRing, which is Believe, and I don't know. Well, I don't even...
The tease on it yeah. was similar, where you think that it's going to be a really good show on the afterlife. But, again, it could easily just turn into another one of these zombie shows, which seem to be very popular right now. So
I know. Maybe it's just when I watch the news, maybe it's the channel that I'm watching, but it seems like every show on that channel is some sort of a zombie or vampire show.
Or killing people show.
Yeah,
it's...
But you know, I worry about...
Maybe you should be watching the Discovery Channel.
It makes people so fearful of the world to come, you know.
Right,
so,
but...
Here we are, we're trying...
We're a culture that thrives on fear. We do. And that's why the whole political system is so messed up, because the politicians figured that out really quickly.
Yeah, but what's our biggest fear? It's not our biggest fear.
Your biggest fear is fear itself.
Fear is death, you know.
I don't fear death. I think people who are...
Most people are not like you.
Well, most people are learning, and it's our job to change worldview. I embrace it. I think I can't wait.
I mean, the majority of people in this world live their lives in fear of death and do everything in their power, you know, to avoid it, you know, youthful. I mean, look at the, you know, the billions that are spent in plastic surgery.
Right, and that's a whole different culture than the people who are spiritually oriented. And I will say within the spiritual population, you still have two groups of people. You have people who, and I'm going to say most of them don't fear death. There are those who embrace life so much and still understand that death is not a terrible thing, but that this gift of being here in the physical world is a gift and that you're supposed to live it to the fullest. So there's that side as well to take into consideration.
Yeah. Well, people fear death for many different reasons. I mean, one is just the most obvious is that the fear or the reality of being extinguished forever is troubling.
Right.
And other people, though, they don't fear death because they rationalize and they say, what's the fear? If I'm going to be extinguished, I'm not going to have any memory or pain, then I'm gone. So what's
well, then there's Woody Allen's view. I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Right. On that note, I think we'll...
Yes, okay. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll hear more about the unseen world from our guest, Dr. Louis LeGrand.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
Hello, my name is Lauren Halpern, and I'm a Reiki master. I enjoy bringing peace and inspiration to people. I conduct healing circles with inspiration, meditation, and Reiki at different community developments, religious institutions, and many other locations. People react so wonderfully to my events. For more information, please contact me, Reiki Touch by Lauren at 954-464-0087. That's 954-464-0087. Or email me at laurenhalpern@gmail.com. laurenhalpern@gmail.com.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Louis LeGrand. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at windbridge.org. Bob?
And it's our pleasure to welcome back Dr. Lou LeGrand. Dr. LeGrand holds advanced degrees from Columbia University, the University of Notre Dame, and Florida State University. He's been teaching about death and counseling the bereaved for more than 30 years. And as a certified grief counselor, he gives workshops on grief support and stress reduction in schools, hospices, health agencies, etc. He's the author of 8 books and numerous articles. He's known worldwide for his research on the extraordinary experiences of the bereaved, in other words, after-death communication phenomena. And his newest book is Healing Grief, Finding Peace, 101 Ways to Cope with the Death of Your Loved One. He has a really comprehensive website, extraordinarygriefexperiences.com. Pay it a visit. And welcome, Lou. Nice to have you back.
Oh, thanks, Bob. It's all my pleasure. I'm glad to be able to speak with you again.
Yeah, it's our pleasure as well. You know, much of your work, as I mentioned in the intro, I mean, you've been doing it for a long time, and you've been incorporating these extraordinary grief experiences into your counseling work. And
as absolutely.
As you look back at your career over the years, are people today more open to discuss these after-death communications than they were in years past?
Well, the actual mourners are, but I still come across. In fact, I was just talking with someone this week who said, yesterday it was, and they said, "Well, you know, you really have to be careful who you talk to about this." Sometimes even within your own family, because you know, their belief system is different, and they'll make fun of you. You know, and I still believe that phenomena exists. But as far as the people who have the experience, that's an altogether different story. I think those folks are much more open to talk about it, to ask questions about it, and there's no doubt about it. They are really helped when these unusual things happen to them. And the big reason is they are absolutely convinced they will see their loved one again. And who am I, you know, to question their experience? I once had a colleague. His name was David Fontana, and he was from England. He's since passed, I can remember many years ago. He said to me, "You know, Lou," he said, "it can be poor science, certainly poor psychology, for those who have not had the experience to claim greater understanding of it than those who have, you know." And what happens is we have a lot of scientifically oriented people who have never had the experience, but they can tell you what it is.
Absolutely. And you know, you make an interesting point in your books, and when you talk about the subject of validation and understanding, that does one need to have their experience acknowledged by a friend or a family member or a colleague, you know, for it to have a positive impact on their grief?
Well, you know, I think that varies with individuals, but in a general way, I would say no. But I would say if there is somebody who is a good listener and says, "Wow, you had that happen to you?" Oh, that helps them immensely. You know, one of the things that I do every time somebody tells me a story, and I am convinced that they've had a real experience, the first thing out of my mouth is I'll always say, "Wow, you've been given a gift, and what are we going to do with it?" You know. And I do believe it's so important to have people that can reinforce the experience. You know, it'll help the mourner immensely. In fact, I will often tell them, you know, you ought to go talk to so and so or this person or that person. They've had that experience too. In fact, in my support groups, I will ask people halfway through probably the fourth week. I have a section on the extraordinary, and I'll say, How many people here have sensed the presence of their loved one? You would be amazed at the hands that will shoot up, you know. So this phenomenon is happening all the time. It helps people. And see, now they will talk to each other because there's another person there who's had something similar to what I've had, see. which is very healthy, very healthy.
Yeah, we can certainly relate, you know, because when you have these discussion groups, once you present a safe and open forum where people feel comfortable and they're assured they're not going to be judged, the floodgates open up, and
yeah.
people are ready to share. And one of the things, if nothing else, it addresses that am I crazy, you know, question. I'm sure you come
right.
across it all the time. People are questioning themselves, right?
Sure, absolutely, yeah. absolutely. Yeah. And it's such an important part of what mourners need, and that is they need a connection with someone who will listen and not try to fix them. And who will listen to the experience they've had, who will not criticize it, and to know that you have someone that you can trust, that you feel very deeply that you can say a lot of things to them that you wouldn't normally to say to someone else, what a help that is for them to get through their grief work.
Mm. And unfortunately, I'm sure that there are you have many colleagues that when counseling somebody that's grieving and when they're told of such experiences, they get out their prescription pad.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that, Bob. I feel very bad about that. In fact, when the first book I wrote on the extraordinary. In fact, it was called After Death Communication. When I would go to a conference, some of my colleagues would have nothing to do with me. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe until I realized, you know, that they thought that I had kind of gone off the deep end, you know.
Right.
And that was their problem, because if they only realized how powerful these experiences are and that they could use them to help the person deal with their loss, this has been actually what my mission has been for many, many years, as trying to get other professionals, caregivers, counselors, therapists, trying to get them to see that these things, although I call them extraordinary experiences, they are very ordinary. They're very helpful. And we need to be much more open and accepting of what the mourner tells us, you see.
Yeah. And what could possibly offer more hope, you know, as you mentioned earlier, than the knowledge that they're going to see their loved one again? You know,
exactly.
If anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what are the most common types of things that people report to you when you see them or in a
yeah.
session?
Well, as I previously mentioned, one of the most frequent is that. I call it the intuitive experience, but what it is basically they are absolutely convinced that the spirit of their loved one is with them in the same room. They feel the person, and they say it makes them feel very, very good. Then probably equally there are a number of people who have visitation dreams, and in the dreams, these are not dreams that we normally have. Now, I've had dreams of my mother and my father, and I know they were not visitation dreams. When you have a visitation dream, it is so clear. it is like you're talking right in the ear of that person. You don't forget a bit of it, you know. It just stands right out, and it brings, and this is the key thing, it brings peace, you see. And these visitation dreams, in fact, there is a woman, and I do the same thing. Her name is Christine Dominiak, and she has a website called, I think it's Prayer Wave for After Death Communication. And one of her big pitches is, and I will tell I tell all of my clients this, who if they've had the experience or not, if they're interested in trying to have one, is to pray for one. And there's nothing wrong with praying for a sign from your loved one, and be very specific, you know. And I think there are a lot of people. I know I have had, a man I'll never forget who was in one of my groups, and we came to the fourth week, and we were talking about the extraordinary, and by golly, I told the whole group, I said, there's nothing wrong with praying for a sign if you're interested. The next week he came back. And he had a vision of his wife in the middle of the night, and he was as happy as a lark, you know.
Prayer answered.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So there, but those two are probably the most common. Then I believe there are a number of individuals who will have what the scientific materialist would call a coincidence, but they are things that happen at just the right time, and they know it's a help from somewhere, you know. And sometimes the sign will come, and it'll be with a bird, you know, and some type of unusual behavior from an animal. And these things, and again, because we're so individual, you see, these things have meaning for the individual person that has it, you see. That same thing could happen to someone else, and they might not get that meaning out of it, you see.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all mystery. We're all mystery. It's an amazing thing. I remember several years ago I read a book by a scientist who I was very impressed with, because in the book he said something that was extremely impressive to me. He said, you know, knowledge is an island in a sea of inexhaustible mystery. Knowledge is an island in a sea of inexhaustible mystery. And no matter how much you find out, there is always going to be more questions and more mystery, you see. And
yeah.
I always
you're right,
that.
And that's why I think that's why sometimes we just have to forego the science and believe in your personal experiences, you know.
That's right. Go with your heart, absolutely. Yeah. And your intuition, no doubt about it, you know.
Yeah. I recall, Lou, in one of your books, and I don't remember if it's in the Healing Grief book, that you talk about a possible trap, you know, with those people that are having these extraordinary experiences, like that they're always looking for more, like they're never fulfilled. I mean, is that something that you find?
Well, yes, you know, I think that's a rare thing, but I think there are some people who want to have some type of sign or message continually. I had I had a woman who I counseled long distance on a phone, and she wanted daily contact, you know. And I really had not heard of anyone who daily had something extraordinary that they, you could honestly say, had been a sign or a message from their loved one. But I think, Bob, that's relatively rare. It may happen, maybe one out of a thousand, you see.
Yeah, but I would agree with you. We see that sometimes in the mediumship world. You know, people they actually can form an addiction. You know, to where they want to go from medium to medium to medium. You know?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And you know that can happen in these experiences as well. You know.
Yeah, and, but like you say, it is rare. It doesn't happen.
Yes. Yes, right. I don't believe it's common at all. I haven't run into it. No.
Do you find that in counseling and in your sessions and workshops, and the people that are grieving find some solace and comfort in being compassionate, you know, in helping others?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, these experiences, one of the things that you can draw from them is that wherever they're coming from, somebody is giving. Somebody is being very loving. And we do know that if you can get a person to think outside of themselves, it can be a healing experience. So if you can think of, you know, who can I help, even though I'm hurting? What can I do? What can my new mission be, my new dream? It's a new life now, you know. I can still love in separation, but I still have a life that I've got to live. And by giving and finding ways to give of time, energy, your ear, being a great listener, because we all need people who will listen to us. In fact, I think it was Tillich who said the first duty of love is to listen. You know, and one thing I try to do with the people that I work with is to get them involved in some type of situation where they are helping somebody, they're working maybe at a local food bank, or they're doing something to take themselves out of themselves and to give.
And I think you're right, and we see that a lot. I mean, because I think it has to do with, you know, people are lost when they're grieving the loss of a loved one, and they're lost themselves, and they're searching for some sort of meaning. And I guess, you know, as you talked about, helping others provides some meaning in a world that suddenly had become meaningless. So I can certainly relate.
Exactly. Yeah. And the nice thing about it, Bob, is that it often, and I mean very often, when you have face-to-face contact with another person, and you're the giver, it's amazing how that experience itself will, in many instances, form a strong bond or connection with that person, and you have another friend, you know. You have at least someone you can talk to and call by first name, you know. And that's very important, because mourners tend to isolate themselves. And after a period of time, you know, isolation for a while, okay. But then after a period of time, there needs to be connection. And we've got to connect with people. We've got to connect with interests. We've got to connect with places. We've got to find a way to get back into life. And certainly by helping, you can't go wrong.
Okay, great. And you know, we I know we're going to go to a break soon, but before we do that, I mean, would you mind taking a call from a listener?
Oh, sure, sure.
Okay, we have Rachel on line three.
Okay. Hello, Rachel.
Hi.
Hi. You're on with Dr. Lou LeGrand. Would you have a question for Dr. Lou?
Yes, Dr. Lou, I do. I lost my son a little over a year ago. I have handled it really well up until March 17th, which was the first year anniversary. And mm-hmm. since then, I am kind of spiraling down. I've okay. always been really, really very much a healer and very much giving to community and to people, mm-hmm. but I'm lost and I'm really not sure how to get sure. my bearings again.
Yeah.
I've gotten signs
yeah.
from him all year long, amazing signs. And just oh, recently, we did communicate through Ouija, but for 3.5 hours, communicated with a friend of mine and my mom, and he told me that one of the purposes I had here when I asked him for a hint was healing, mm-hmm. but I seem to be unable to find my way.
Well,
so I'm wondering, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, let me say right off, all right, that your grieving right now is absolutely normal. All right, see, there. Most of us have been brought up to think that grief is some type of a short kind of thing. And of course, when you get to that magic 1 year, you're supposed to really be all better, you know. And that does not happen for most of us. And especially when the death is a son. I've lost a daughter, so I know what I'm talking about here. And your grief coming back to revisit you is very normal. So let me just recommend one thing for you, and that is when you start feeling sad, all right, let it go through you like a sieve. Be a sieve and not a bottle. Don't be afraid to cry, to let it all out. There's nothing wrong with that. This is absolutely normal, what you're feeling.
Okay.
Don't put yourself down a bit. You are just still in grief mode, and there's nothing wrong with that, all right? You probably would like to be somewhat better, like we all would, but it's going to take time, all right? And each grief is one of a kind, so you will know when you're able to really reach out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very
right, thanks.
Much.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Let it out. Don't keep it in.
Right.
Okay.
Thank
I
you,
do,
Rachel.
And the difficult thing about that is that I let it out a little too much, and it's getting me to a state where I just I am not really coming out of it. And
okay. Here's the next step. The next step is, once you recognize how feeling, once you have done your crying, or you have found a way to write it out or to talk it out, then immediately you've got to start to flip and focus on some type of positive memory, all right? And go through, and if you have to, do some memory building. Get a list and think of some of the great memories in your life. And one of the things that you have to do is you have to practice refocusing each time. First, though, you let it out, but then you refocus. But it's got to be refocusing on a pleasant event, a happy time, you see. And that takes time. And it'll change your brain chemistry if you do it often enough, all right?
Okay, I'm a writer, so I have been mm-hmm. writing stories about our life together. little small stories and submitting them to competitions, but just writing stories. And it does help in the short term, but I just find I'm completely incapacitated as far as being able to work or go out into this world. I just have no interest in doing any of that.
I see. Have you been to any support groups?
No. I came up to the retreat last year with my mom for Forever Family, but haven't done anything else.
Well, you know, Rachel, what I might add from a non-professional perspective, the one who also, you know, went through what you're going through, I recall very clearly, as Dr. LeGrand mentioned, you know, the people think, I used to say to myself, if I could only make it through the first year, I'll survive this, you know, and I used to wait and wait. And then, of course, the year came and it still sucked, you know. So, you know, that 1 year thing, you know, that means nothing. But what I would do is when you get in those periods of where you fall into that deep abyss, you know, of sadness, I would reflect back about all of these extraordinary experiences that I had.
Exactly.
Okay.
Fortunately, I would write down, you know, as Fran would urge me to do. And when I would reflect, you know, so you're able to dig yourself out, you know, to a certain extent.
Yes.
Of course, as time goes on, obviously, time does not heal such a loss, but it gets different, and you find yourself being able to dig yourself out a lot easier, and that's what I would say.
One other technique, Rachel, that you can try is beginning tonight, start a pleasant events schedule, and that is things that you really like to do. You know, for example, maybe you like to go to the local donut shop. Maybe you like to go to the beach, or you like to see a certain view or what have you. And over a period of a couple of weeks, come up with a list of 15 or 20 pleasant events that you really get a kick out of, all right? Think back.
Okay.
And then, again, when you get into a tough day and you've had enough, go to your pleasant event schedule and pick out something and say, okay, I'm going to do this.
Okay.
All right. And remember, where you place your attention, that's where your energy is going to be. And if you keep placing the attention on yourself in terms of how you're feeling, you're going to suck the energy right out of you. All right. So think of that pleasant event schedule. Treat yourself every day. Treat yourself good. Do something good for yourself.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Rachel. And
that's awesome.
Thanks for the
thank
call.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take
you
care. I'm sure that helped a little, and thank you for that, Dr. LeGrand. We're going to go to
You're
a break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking a lot more with Dr. Lou LeGrand, and his latest book, Healing Grief, Finding Peace, 101 Ways to Cope with the Death of Your Loved One. So stay with us and we'll be back.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
the Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Louis LeGrand. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at winbridge.org. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. And now, before we get back to our show, just have a few announcements for you. A reminder that you can support the foundation without sending us any money. When shopping on the internet, think of us before you go to Amazon.com and instead go to ForeverFamilyFoundation.org and use the Amazon link to get to Amazon. Don't worry, there's a link on every page of our new website. And if you add that one simple step to your shopping, a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us. And if you don't shop on Amazon, that's not a problem. There's another way to be certain that almost all your website shopping produces a donation to Forever Family Foundation without you having to send us anything. Visit iGive.com. It's free. Name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And just like with Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,400 online stores that you're probably already shopping in, like Fandango, Expedia, J.Crew, TurboTax. And one last thing, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out. And each time that card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holidays of the Earth raffle is winding down. There are only 11 days left for you to win one or more one-hour phone readings with one of our certified mediums. Neil Zapowski, Renee Buck, Renata Santarelli, Lee Ashley, and Bobby Allison. It's only $5 a chance. And a bit of inside information. As of today, only 82 people have entered this raffle. Chances of winning remain fabulous. Our annual grief retreat is set for the weekend of July 25th to 27th back at the wonderful guest house in Chester, Connecticut. We've also added on a day just for parents who have lost children. Details are all up on the website, and it is a very special weekend of a small group of like-minded people sharing a special journey. So we have, if you'd like to save money, we also can put you into a double or triple with other attendees of the same gender, and reservations can be made via the event page on our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And many of our listeners already know that March has marked our 10th year as a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, serving the world in our mission to prove that life continues even after the physical body dies. In celebration of this event, we're revisiting our very first event with a 10-year view on the current research that supports the existence of an afterlife. Please join us on July 29th at Long Island University, where Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti will present The Afterlife, A Scientist's View, and will be followed by a demonstration of spirit communication for those in attendance by Forever Family Foundation certified medium, Laura Lynn Jackson. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Dr. Lou LeGrand. The website is extraordinarygriefexperiences.com. You'll find a whole lot of information there, including information on 8 wonderful books, including Healing Grief, Finding Peace, 101 Ways to Cope with the Death of Your Loved One. Lou, I know you touched on this before, and it's a question that people are always asking, is what can they do to help facilitate these extraordinary experiences? And you, of course, mentioned one way, which would be to set your intention and pray for it.
Right.
Any other advice that you might give to people to help them?
Well, I think one of the easiest ways that communication can come from the other side is through a dream, and learning to try and develop a nightly routine where you ask for a dream. You can start off and ask whatever higher power you believe in to help you have a dream visitation from your loved one, and have a paper and pencil right by the bed there. Ask that the dream be a positive one, because sometimes we get dreams that are disturbing, and they may involve the loved one. I would also recommend that in trying to get a dream visitation, that you spend a considerable amount of time being very patient. It takes, don't expect it to come every time you ask for one. But I know that praying for a dream in particular has had a lot of success. Now, other people have told me that they have had contacts during a meditation session where they have decided that every day they're going to meditate for 15 to 20, 25 minutes, and that during the meditation session, something comes to them, or they feel the presence of the loved one. So the praying and the meditation are two that I have heard of the most.
Mm. When I know that you talked a little bit before about setting up like diversions or a different way of looking at things, do you find that people that in grief when they've lost loved ones that sometimes they think if they do something that's enjoyable somehow they're betraying
You know, and Bob, I tell every person I work with that you must not grieve 24/7. If you want to get sick, excuse me, if you want to get sick, don't give yourself a break every day. And there is no reason at all why you can't do something good just for yourself every day. This this is not demeaning to the loved one at all. But you're so right. There are people who believe that they have got to be sad each day, all the day, you see. And there is no reason at all why they can't go out and spend a certain portion of time doing something pleasant just for themselves.
Yeah, and of course, there's the other way of looking at it. You know, their loved one in spirit, would they want to see them, you know, moping around for the rest of their life? So.
Exactly. That's a great thing. I often will, especially when a person is telling me how guilty they feel because of something that they should have done or could have done, and usually it's neurotic guilt, and we all get into that many times. We think we could have done something to save our loved one and so on, and I will often say, well, you know what you just said to me? Let's turn now, and you see that chair there? Let's say that Don is sitting in that chair. What do you think he would say to you? And I have never had the person say, well, he would say I was right, you know. They always say he would tell me, don't feel this way.
Yeah, and I think that...
I don't feel bad. Sure.
Well, that's an excellent point, and I think we're going to have to end that note. We appreciate so much you being with us tonight. Again, the website is extraordinarygriefexperiences.com. Dr. Lou LeGrand has written books about these experiences and after-death communication and grief. He's an expert in all of them. Thank you so much, Lou, and we look forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks, Bob. I enjoyed it, as I always have.
All right, thanks.
Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Lee Harris, Leanne Ashley, David Mello, Ann Hutchinson, John Cahaly, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel S., Jeanette Davies, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Marianne Pierzga, Flora Prisco, Stanley Mulan, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Barbara Patillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafada, Mark Barron, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Francis Mastracco, Jean Lash, Joe Alarmon, Philip McPhee, Tracy Lee Nash, Rita Dwyer, Gina DiNonato, Magnus Scott, Trueb, Chip Reichenthal, and Tom Donahue. And now it's time for us to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.